Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
We're going to talk about the seasons. We're going to take 4 weeks. 4 weeks to talk about seasons of life. And when I was telling this to somebody this week, I said, "Well, we're going to start a series on seasons. We're going to talk about, you know, how God is in each and every season." She goes, "Well, I'm in the old season," and I was like, "Well, that is a season." But we're talking more about the ones that come and go, like the seasons outside. Here in Michigan, and probably all over the country, but especially here, you guys know how to really treat your seasons, right? You guys, because you get them all, right? That's very important, right? I come from a place where we have one, really. It's just hot death all the time. And then there's like a wisp of cold, and then that's it. Trees go from green to dead back to green, and that's it. But here, we have real seasons. And so this is actually a series that I came up with probably almost 10 years ago now. And I came up with it in Texas. And, you know, so seasons were theory. And so now I've actually experienced two and a half full seasons, years of seasons. And wow, it's pretty great. It's pretty great to have them all. I didn't know where to start, right, in regards to which season to talk about first. And so I like to always do the hardest thing first, because it's done, right? Whatever your project you have, if you just tackle the hardest one, then the rest of the project's going to be fine, right? Don't put it off to the end to do the hardest thing. That's silly. But a lot of people do. Well, hey, that's up to you. But for me, I want to tackle the hardest one. And so we're going to talk about winter, okay? And Michiganders, possibly better than anyone else in the country, you guys know winter, all right? And I appreciate all of the wonderful things that you have taught me about real winter, okay? Lots of cool stuff, lots of fun things. And we'll get into that. I've got a few things that I've learned along the way in winter, but just to come back around to seasons, right? We mark our calendars according to seasons. We, especially summertime, springtime, fall, all those fun things. They shape our rhythms. The seasons affect how we live each and every day, from the clothes that we wear to the food that we eat and how we spend our time. That's what seasons do in our lives. But just like nature, right? We move through these winter, spring, summer, and fall seasons of our lives from one to the next. Now, unlike the weather, our natural seasons, the seasons of our lives don't always follow a very predictable pattern. And so that's very important to say from the outset as we jump into this study, is that you can go from summer straight into winter very quickly, and then back into summer, and then to fall, and then to winter. And what if that was the way it was like, right? Sometimes in Michigan, it feels that way, right? You guys I've been around long enough to know, right? Some days it's winter, and then the next day it's fall, but then it's winter again, sometimes in the same day, which is awesome. It makes it hard to dress properly, but there are other times, you know, there are times in the seasons where it's springtime, right? You get fresh hope newness, new beginnings, spiritual renewal. Spring is wonderful. And then you have summer, right? Summer is great. It's busy. It's intense. It's full of growth and sometimes not in ideal conditions, right? It's been kind of hot here the last couple weeks, unusually so, and humid. That's no fun. But then you know, there's also fall. And people love the fall. It's beautiful. When the trees turn colors, I had no idea. I'd only seen it in picture books. But it's real, and it's wonderful. And the weather changes. I somebody was telling me just today, you know, by the mid to end of August, it starts getting cooler. And I still don't believe it. And I've been through it twice. But it's awesome. But the fall is a season of transition, right? It's a season of change, of shifting, sometimes, you know, falling away. And then you have winter, which is what we're going to look at today. Cold, quiet, sometimes lonely. In the winter of our life, God can feel distant. And sometimes life feels barren and empty. But in every season, this is what I want you to understand. This is what, you know, for the whole series, I want you to understand this, that in every season, God is present. God is speaking. And God is working, even when it seems like he's not to you. And if we learn to pay attention to that truth and the things that are happening around us, we'll find that every season has purpose. You know, it seems like, again, I haven't done this a lot, but so far in the winter, it seems like everybody does everything they can up until winter, and then it's just survive. And then there's something will start growing at some point, you hope, by Mother's Day. Which is just, again, bonkers to me. But there's so much that happens during winter. There's so much that every season offers the opportunity for transformation, the opportunity for growth in some form. And so as we begin this new journey on this series, it's a brief series, but I think it's going to be highly impactful as we look at each season that happens within our lives. Wherever you are right now, wherever you find yourself, whether you're stuck in a spiritual winter or maybe you're standing in the warmth of summer, wherever you are, God has something for you. And I believe over the next 4 weeks, you will find where you are and how to identify how you need to accept and move through each season of your life. My prayer has been, as I've led up to this, as I've prepared for this series, is that you're going to discover what God wants to teach you in the midst of the season that you're in. And here's what I want you to know for today, right? If you don't remember anything else, remember this, that in spiritual winters, we learn to hope in God, even when we can't feel him. When life feels old, when it feels cold and barren and silent, God is inviting you to honestly seek him and to anchor your hope in his presence. It's so important. The writer of Psalms, he knew this season too, all too well. We're going to be in Psalms 42 and 43 mostly today. We'll jump around to a couple other places, but if you want to open up your Bible to Psalm 42, that's where we're going to be. We're going to start in Psalm 42, 5, the first part of it. The psalmist says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?" Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that, like in your prayer life? Maybe they just felt like you know, you're sending prayers up, but they're just bouncing off the ceilings, bouncing off the walls. They're not going anywhere. You know that God is real. You know that God loves you, but he feels really far away. See, that's the spiritual season that's called winter. And it's real, even for the most faithful of Christ followers, right? We all go through that. And sometimes it's important to embrace that you're in a season of winter. Because God is doing something in that, right? Spiritual winters are the times when you feel dry, when you almost feel like you're going through the motions, or you believe that God is there, but you can't reach him the same way that you have in other seasons. And I want to show you today what the scriptures say about walking through that spiritual winter. It's not just about survival, but it's about growing our roots deeper in those times of spiritual winter, to be strengthened for whatever might come next. Because winter is a season that God uses. Look with me in Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? The psalmist is expressing his longing to be holy, to experience God. He's not apathetic because he doesn't feel God at the moment. No, he's desperate to be near God. And it's not because he's in a period of sin. Be sure of that, right? A lot of times we get that confused when we're in winter. That's because we've walked away. And maybe that's the case, but a lot of times it's just what God is doing for us, right? Dryness and then cold times are not always a sign of sin. It can be a sign of growth. We often confuse the stillness or the silence from God with his absence or with our drawing away. But God is not absent in the season of winter. He allows these seasons to develop your endurance and to develop your faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." We've talked about this before as we've walked through James, but joy in trouble seems counterintuitive. Right? James, is he out of his mind when he says things like this? No, he understood the season of winter, and he understood the need for endurance training. We all have that. Because if everything was happy-go-lucky, well then when something negative happens, something bad happens, we would be completely uprooted. The roots that we have, the roots in our faith are critical for keeping us upright. Think about trees. When big winds come, and they do, the tree that doesn't have good roots will fall. But God uses the winter to maybe not grow things above the surface, but below the surface, to strengthen your hold in what you actually believe in, the foundation in which you stand. Every year when I was in college on the track team, we started the track season off with the worst, most horrible practices. It was endurance training, and I hated it because I was a pole vaulter. My plan was never to run more than 120 feet, and they wanted me to run bleachers and hills and box jumps and laps around the campus, and it was torture. But it was for a purpose, so that I would be so much more capable than to run just 120 feet. Because if all I ever did was run 120 feet, then if a competition ever went longer, I wouldn't have the endurance to keep up. Endurance training is so important because it prepares you for what you is going to come into your life that you don't see yet. There's plenty of biblical examples of winter seasons in the Old Testament. Think about Joseph when he sat in prison. Falsely accused, falsely imprisoned for years. You think he thought it was summer down there? No. That was winter. That was training. It was endurance. He didn't enjoy it, but he used it. He made the best of it. Think about David when he was in exile. He could have pouted. He could have gone off and tried to attack Saul and kill and get out of the whole problem, but he knew that wasn't God's will. And so he ran and he hid in caves and he waited for God's timing. Or the wonderful, fun example of Elijah. If you know the story of Elijah, there's this there's this big scene where the prophets of Baal and Elijah, the last prophet left of God, are on this mountain. And Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to build an altar. And I'll build an altar. And we're going to call on our God. And the first God to burn up the altar will be the real true God. And the prophets of Baal think, all right, fantastic. This is great. There's a whole bunch of us and we're going to be able to do this. And so they all build an altar. And then they start calling. They start doing all these chants and incantations. And nothing happens. Why? Because they're not real gods. And then, you know, Elijah's mocking them. It's a wonderful, fun thing. He talks, you should read it. It's great in 1 Kings. Go read it. It's hilarious. And after all, they've cut themselves. They've spent hours trying to get their God to burn up this altar. Nothing happens. Elijah says, okay, my turn. He says, dig a trench around this altar. We'll pour water all over this altar. And then he kneels down and he prays for God to reveal himself. And boom, fire. Laps up all the water, burns up all the things. It's unbelievable. Then, and this is the part that I love teaching to kids. Then Elijah becomes this like super ninja and kills all the prophets. We don't talk about that enough in church. It's unbelievable, right? Like he gets something happens and he just destroys them all. I mean, he is the superhero of all superheroes. Until the next day. 1 Kings chapter 19, look at me. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, right? All the plus the fire. I bet he used that because he was a dude and that's how we talk. Told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you have killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Now, how do you go from this incredible mountaintop experience to sitting in a cave begging God to kill you? Because seasons change that quickly. That mountaintop experience can become a winter drudge almost immediately if you don't recognize it. And maybe you can relate to it. Maybe you've had this great victory, a bountiful season, incredible things happening, followed quickly by winter. A death that you didn't expect in the family, or a job loss, or something happened in your life that took you from the top of the mountain to the bottom where you just are crying out, why God, where are you? Elijah was unprepared for the winter that was coming. He was unprepared for the mountaintop to become a valley, especially with as quickly as it happened. And maybe Elijah started buying into his own press, right? Maybe he had a couple hype men like me standing around him going, dude, do you realize what you just did? That was awesome. And he started thinking, yeah, I am awesome. But whatever it was, he found himself alone and he found himself just in the bottom of a pit, ready to quit, saying, take my life, Lord, I'm done. And then we see the Lord speak to him and care for him. And his spirit starts to return. And for Elijah and these other Bible heroes, their spiritual winters prepared them for the next season of fruitfulness. One of the things they always say is that, you know, the fruit trees around here are unbelievable when you have a good winter. It needs that period of freezing so that the crop can come out better in the next spring and summer. We need these winters. Oh, we don't want them. Right? The winters are hard and they're cold and they hurt. And, you know, if it's filled with loss or whatever it is, we would rather, if we're honest, we'd say, can we just pass over that? But there's so much that happens. God wants us to understand that in the winter, he is still working. God's not in it for just our quick microwave, get over everything quickly thing. No, he's in it for the long game. And I think it's so important for us to recognize this in regards to our faith. a lot of times people have this great experience and they come to faith in Jesus and they're on fire and they expect all of the problems to go away. And then 2 weeks later, they're right back where they were, facing the same temptations and the problems and the consequences of their bad decisions. And they're going, "Why, God? I guess that wasn't real." And they walk away. Their faith was shallow. They didn't understand what it really looks like to follow Christ. They're looking for a quick fix to all of the lifetime of bad decisions that they've made and the consequences and the hurt that follows that. See, God, upon the salvation that we receive in Jesus Christ, he will immediately take away our sin. Absolutely. 100%. We are secured. We are sanctified. We are brought into his presence. We no longer owe the penalty that we rightly deserve. But that process of sanctification, the process of looking more like Jesus, that takes a lifetime of preparation and endurance, which includes periods of difficulty and trial. It seems in our mind, it would be so much easier if it was just easy, if everything just came to us, right? We've all laid in bed in the midst of our turmoil and gone, what if it was just, if all of this would just pass and I could just have all the good times, right? We look at everybody else and we go, why does that person not suffer like I'm suffering? We start comparing and then we fall into the trap that Satan wants us to fall into, which is comparison and doubt. But God is so much greater. And his process includes those difficult times. His process includes our endurance making. Jesus even said, here on earth, you will have trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In winter, we must become more secure to our foundation. Because in those moments, in those seasons, that's when you find out what you really believe, what you really hold on to. Think about it. When things get difficult in your life, what do you run to? You're the only one that can answer that question. Because the winter exposes our soul's desperation. Look with me back in Psalm 42, verse 3. Psalmist says, day and night, I have only tears for food. While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Winter can be very difficult. So, like the psalmist, my encouragement to you would be to tell God about it, to talk about it, to lament. Because honest lament is a part of our biblical faith. It's one of the components that we feel like, because we don't understand Scripture, that we can't complain, that God can't handle it. He wants us always to have a bubbly, happy, everything's fine. No. He knows that things, life's get hard. And you know what? He's big enough to handle it. Now, make sure you're not whining about just everything. Nobody likes that. But if it hurts your heart, take it to God. The Psalms give us permission to bring our raw emotion to God. Crying out to God is so much better than drifting away from him because you think that he's left you. Cry out to him. Call on him. Because I promise you, he's faithful. He's faithful to respond to you, even in the moments when you feel like he's so far away. And remember, think back, as the psalmist did, on the things that he has been faithful to carry you through in the past. As humans, we stink at remembering, right? Every summer is the hottest you've ever had in your life. Right? Everything is worse than it's ever been. And if you actually took notes, right, the people that take notes and journal and have, you know, remind themselves, they go, well, it's pretty much the same. But in the moment, our minds play tricks on us to go, this is the worst ever. When it's really not. See, the psalmist says, I remember how it used to be. When we remember those past seasons of joy, the time when God brought us through the hard and difficult times and brought us into a new season of spring, that's our fuel for hope that we need in the midst of winters. The spiritual discipline that we have to study his word, even when we don't feel like it, that's what gets us through. It's what kept the psalmist going. Winter's where hope learns to fight in our lives. It's where we learn to work on what we truly believe. The psalmist repeats it again in Psalm 42:11 and again in 43:5. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Sometimes we just need to say that over and over again to remind us, where is our faith in? What is our hope in? It's in God alone. See, these three refrains form the chorus of this lament. Why am I discouraged? I will put my hope in God. The psalmist is preaching to his own soul here. He doesn't wait to feel hope. He declares it because he knows the truth is found in his God, in our God. See, biblical hope is a choice to trust God's promises when your emotions run dry, and they will. He says, I will praise them again, my Savior and my God. Winter teaches us to worship in the absence of warmth and emotion, but to be committed to truly worshiping him. Because faith is not about emotionalism. That's a component of it, and God gave us emotions, but that shouldn't be the foundation for our faith. Our commitment to him is our foundation. A mature follower of Christ says, even though I don't feel anything right now, I will still praise the Lord of heaven and earth because he is worthy. This is the grit of winter faith. This is what we're called to praise God through the frost, through the frozen times. Look in Psalm 43, verse 3. He says, send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Send out your light and truth. If you've been through a Michigan winter, you know that light is in short supply. And we need that light to be sent out to guide us through the darkness. And that's not about warm feelings and emotions. That's the truth of God's word that we stand on and the presence that he brings each and every day. His truth steadies us when our emotions fail us. And our worship, that should reorient our heart. That should bring us back into his presence when we start to drift away. See, the psalmist doesn't just want relief. He wants God. Sometimes that's where we get confused. We just want the pain to be over instead of walking towards the one who is the source of all things. That should be our direction. That should be our destination. And winter faith should lead us to deeper joy when the spring finally comes, where we can sing, I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. What does that look like? That means coming to church to sing his praises even when you had a bad weekend or when things aren't going your way or when you're just struggling. It means coming here and being surrounded by the people of God who love you and want to support you through the winter seasons. To sing his praises even when you don't feel like it. We've all been there when the songs start and you're like, But you know, as soon as you start opening your mouth and singing along with the lyrics, something changes inside of you and you're ready to go. The Spirit moves inside of you when you make the attempt to just continue to walk through in that true hope that you have in him. It means opening up the Word of God on a Tuesday after you've had a terrible Monday and you're tired and you just want to lay down and veg out. There's nothing better than meeting with God in the moments when you don't feel like it, because that's what changes your heart. That's what reorients you back to what you really believe. The Apostle Peter sums up all of this perfectly in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Look with me. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. This should be our attitude. This should be what we walk through each and every day in whatever season of life we're in. Especially in the winter seasons, especially in the difficult times, especially in the cold and the dry months of life where we just want to just sit down and say, I give up, take me away. We should find encouragement in Peter's words. So here's what I want you to do. Here's your next steps. I've got three of them for you this week. The first thing is this, and I know we haven't gone through all the seasons, but I want you to name the season you're in. Consider what's going on in your life. Maybe you're in the middle of winter. Maybe you're in spring, summer, fall. I don't know. But name the season that you're in and be honest with yourself. If you look at your life and you go, well, I've been in summer my whole life and God has just la, 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 la through a meadow. Please be honest with yourself. Because you only get places, you only move forward in life when you're honest. When you can say, yeah, I'm struggling right now. Because that's what's going to build you up and strengthen you as you endure. And acknowledge what season you're in without shame. The second thing is I want you to preach to your soul this week. Memorize Psalm 42:5 and a little bit of 6 because that's where, you know, it finishes the sentence. Speak it out loud each day. Ask yourself, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Worship him when you don't feel like it. Show up, right? Again, there's a lot of reasons not to come to church. There's a million reasons not to come to church, but there's one really big reason too, and it's all of us. And it's because what God has called us to be together, to be lifted up, to be encouraged by the body of believers. Sing when you don't feel like singing. Sing loudly, no matter what key you are in, or if it's even a key. That's what I tell myself all the time. And open your Bible even when life feels dry, even when you're tired, even when you're beat up. Open the Word and watch how God meets you where you are. And the third thing goes along with it. Lean on the body of Christ. We don't do this enough. We feel like we're on an island and we have to work through the difficulties of the seasons of life on our own, but that's just not true. Psalm 42:4 reminds us to worship with others. In the midst of Elijah's winter, when he was at the bottom after this huge high point, and he all of a sudden he went to the bottom, what did God tell him to do? He said, go find Elisha. Go with him. Mentor him, walk him through the next phases, what he's going to do after you. He gave him a companion and a mentee, someone that he would share the burdens of life and ministry with. Are you trying to do this all on your own? You don't have to. In fact, it's better if you don't. We need to be strengthened by the people around us. And if you don't have somebody like that, I would encourage you, before you leave today, invite them to coffee. Give them a call. Shoot them a text. You're not going to bother them. Your life is very important to all of us. So don't hesitate to reach out, to be strengthened. Join a community group or a life group. We have those that meet throughout the week and on Sunday mornings at 9:45. Join us so that you can be strengthened by the community of believers there. ask someone to pray for you this week. What if you just took a few seconds to send a text to someone and say, could you pray for me this week? That person would absolutely love to do that. It is not a burden to them. It is a joy to walk with you through the things in your life that hurt, through the winters of life where you feel far away. And here's the truth. Winter doesn't last forever. It doesn't. But it does matter. It is important. And we need to be embracing the difficult seasons of life. Because in the winter season, God deepens your root. He deepens those roots and he draws you closer to him, not by your feelings, but by your faith. So hold fast to him. Put your hope in him and praise him each and every day. Psalm 42:8 says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Sing that in whatever season you're in. And if you're sitting there today and you don't know Jesus as Savior, you're thinking, okay, this is great, highs and lows, winters, cold, whatever. I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior because I don't know what that's all about. Well, let me tell you. We have a God who loves us enough to send his son to take our place. And he wants you to be free from the burden and penalty of your sin if you will simply submit your life, ask for forgiveness, turn from your old life and follow him in new life. Only then will you see the freedom that the rest of us are excited about. Only then will you be able to experience winter with joy and hope. And if that's you, I would love to have a conversation with you. Come talk to me after the service. Shoot me an email. Send me a text. I'll be happy to talk with you. Because that's the first step in understanding the joy that you can find in the midst of all the seasons of life. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you have given us each season. God, like the seasons of nature, you walk with us through each season of life. Some incredibly great and productive and fruitful, others that are barren and cold and tired. But your faithfulness endures through it all. God, you are a rock and you are unshaken. May we tether ourselves to you, to your truth, to the truth of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those that are here, that are in the midst of winter. God, that they would find encouragement, that their roots would be deepened in the faith of who you are and how much you love them, and the salvation that you bring through Jesus Christ, knowing full well that in the midst of the depression of winter, Lord, you have something great on the horizon, that you will use this difficult time to be glorified, to bring about our renewal. God, you promised that, and we are thankful for it. I pray, Lord, for anyone in here who doesn't know you as Savior, Father, that they might come to know you, that they might relinquish their hold on their self, the life that they've tried to live, and turn it over to you, to find the freedom and the hope that only you can bring through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful week. Find out what season you're in, and we will see you next week for some spring.